The Bible tells us that in Genesis chapter 2, God took the mud of the earth and formed man and woman. So sorry you've had to step in yourself for Anniversary Sunday. Little mud in the ground. But man, thanks for making this a great day together. Again, if you're a visitor with us, we're so grateful you're here. We do this once a year as we remember 37 years ago this week. A congregation saw a vision to plant a church, to have a church family in the Chester area, and birthed us. And so maybe it's a good reminder. I don't know how many churches would do this. So just a reminder that we are, yes, indeed, a crazy family and a beautiful one at that. That's why you fit in it so well. Let's be honest. And hey, church was never meant to be neat and clean anyway, so we're just living it out in another way. Anybody who thinks it's going to be is going to be disappointed in life anyway. So it's good practice for us today to be grateful for God giving us this tent of meeting today. Thank you so much to all our volunteers, so many people to say thank you. Can we give Stephen Allen in the back a huge thank you? We want to, there's so many people we would love to thank. A family only works because of family sacrifices. Not in your house and not in God's house. It always works because families give and sacrifice. And today we want to say thank you to a particular group of people that sacrifice in ways that you and I mostly don't get to see but are really the key to everything that happens every Sunday. We want to say thank you, and I know you're going to agree, to all of our nursery volunteers. Right? Yeah. I'm going to ask Donna Coffin if she would stand where she is. I don't know if my wife is in here or if my wife is in here. Sarah, if she would, some flowers for you. Now, every Sunday after church, I come home and I just share all about what happened in the sanctuary, and I hear for the next half hour all the excitement in the nursery from my wife, because there's some good stuff going on in there. And that Matt knows what I'm talking about. Matt hears it every week. Yeah. We are just so thankful for them making it possible for all of us to enjoy those focus times. Would have to say, and I don't think, but obviously Miriam Jackson is such a big part of connecting everything. Miriam, can you stand real quick? We love you, Miriam. Yeah, come on, Miriam. Feel the love. Yeah, so many that we could say. I'd like right now, if you volunteer in the nursery in this new year in 2000, would you just stand right now if you are one of our nursery workers and really nursery ministries? Come on. All right, everybody. Let's say a big thank you. Come on. Thank you for serving us. Thank you for serving us in such a great way. And just want to remember that it takes a family serving each other to really grow as a family. And those are all of our nursery workers. And they really are ministers. They don't just watch the kids. I mean, they do Bible stories and teach them to love Jesus. It's pretty awesome in there. And we're just so thankful for that. And, you know, today we're celebrating that we're a church family, how faith, your leadership and your ministry that God's doing so much for us. So thank you again. We want to say thank you also that we get to celebrate being part of our community. And we love our community. We're going to talk about it in a few minutes. But we got a special group of guys here that are really special to us. You may have never seen their face, but you've prayed for them. And actually, you've been part of giving to them so they could kind of do what they love the most. We have the Bensley Cornerstone team with us here from CRCs. Can the soccer team stand for us real quick? Come on. Yeah. Hey, guys, we just wanted you to meet your bigger church family who prays for you, and we don't get to see all the games. We got to give a special shout-out to Jeff Davis, who runs the team and makes it all happen. Jeff Davis. Hey, we just want to let you know we pray for you guys. You're so passionate. I wish I could play with you, but I'd get hurt. So we'll leave that to Pastor Brandon, who plays. And I love the bow tie, man. I love the bow tie. You look great. Hey. God bless you. We're glad you're here with us this morning. You guys can be seated. If you've come to Cornerstone since September 13th, 2015, if you've been with us, if you've just come to Cornerstone since the end of this school year, would you raise a hand real quick? You see all these people? It's such a blessing. We love you guys. We're going to talk about the joy of what God's doing among us. But we always play a little game at Cornerstone because we remember that we're church family. The Bible, Jesus actually taught that the kingdom of God is like a treasure. And out of the treasure, the person pulled out valuables that were both old and new. And we know that it is this beautiful mashup, this beautiful mixture of people who have been there since the very first day and people who have just come in the last year, maybe this very day. And so we play a little game called Are You Here at Cornerstone? If you are, stand. And so if you are here this morning, I'm going to ask you to stand as part of God's family this morning. Now, we're celebrating today 37 years ago. So if you have been at Cornerstone for a year or longer, remain standing. And everybody else can be seated. If Cornerstone, for 2 years or more, remain standing. We had a lot of great friends have joined us in the last 2 years. If you have been at Cornerstone 3 years or more, remain standing. All right, we're going to make if you've been at Cornerstone 5 years or more, remain standing. Pretty awesome. All right, we're making a bigger jump. If you've been to Cornerstone 10 years or more, remain standing. 10 years. Woo! God is good. Mark, you've put up with me all 10 years? That's impressive. All right, if you've been at Cornerstone 15 years or more, remain standing. 15 years or more, there you go. You're getting some clapping at this point. If you've been at Cornerstone 20 years or more, remain standing. Wow, look at these people. Are you faithful or just a glutton for punishment? What's going on here? I'm going to need a chair. Grab me a chair. If you have been at Cornerstone for 25 years or more, would you remain standing? 25 years or more. Awesome. I'm going to be seated. I don't make it now. I'm out. 30 years or more, remain standing. Yeah. All right. 35 years or more, remain. Oh, man, finally had to go down. Look at this. 36 years or more, remain standing. And if you were here the first Sunday of Cornerstone, May 6, 1979, would you remain standing? That's awesome. That is awesome. May 6, 1979, Cornerstone had its first service about a mile and a half away from here at a renovated plumbing shop right there on Centralia Road. If you ever cross Spencer's bike, Spencer's gas station was in that building. And I don't know if you know this, but how that came about was there was in the West End called West End Assembly of God, Dr. Robert Roden, and their church family had no more than 400 people to it. And that congregation of 400 heard a call from God that there needed to be a family seeking strong after the Holy Spirit and lifting up Jesus in this community. And it was going to be a family to many, many families. It was going to be a healing center. 37 years ago this week, a group of people gathered together, and that first service had 110 people to it. 110 people, first service with Pastor Gary Williamson. I want us this today to remember what it is to have a bold vision, to have a big vision, to remember that God's family has to be big, to dream a lot bigger than ourselves. And I want us to celebrate what happens when we live that out. You'll see in your booklet, I think it's on page 7 and 8, I've got some scriptures I've dedicated to this day as we think about God wanting his family to be big. And then you'll notice on page 8 that I've got just 3 points for you to remember, and I'm going to tell them to you really quick. You don't got to write them down because you'll just remember them. But then there's a whole bunch of numbers under there. And especially maybe for ours who are with us in service, you can play a little game with me today. I want you to see if you can actually find, I'm going to say most of all these numbers during this sermon. So get your little golf pencil out and see every time I say one of those numbers, mark it off and see if you catch me saying all the numbers that we're going to talk about when we talk about God wanting to do something big. Now, I just gave you the first one, all right? There on your sheet on page 8, that the number 100, that's the first one because it was approximately 100 people that 37 years ago showed up to be in our first service. So it should be 110, but it is approximately 100. So that's your first number, and I'm going to invite all you boys and girls, see if you can catch me saying all these numbers today because we're going to probably talk about all of them and then some. And there might be one or two that you want to particularly remember. Amazing number, a big dream of God number. And we want God to fill us with some new numbers of believing big things for him. You'll notice on page 7 that we talk about the Great Commission. That is what we have done this year. On Anniversary Sunday, we always remember how we were started, because we need to remember what we're here for. And then we also use it to celebrate the end of the school year discipleship that we started September 13, 2015. We were all in Thomasdale High School wearing our Jesus Is shirts. We were taking a lot of selfies that day too. And we said that this year was going to be a year of the Great Commission. And the reason we said that, and hopefully you'll remember our church family story, is that the school year before that, we dedicated the year to God's grace. And we spent a whole year celebrating God's grace. And we got done with that year, and we came to September 2015 and says, how can we do anything next year but dedicate ourselves to letting everybody else know about this amazing grace we have found? And so that's what we did September 13th, 2015, 232 days. I don't think that one's on there. 232 days. Since and coming to this day, we've taken the last 7.5 months, 7.5 months, and what we have done is we said we want to commit ourselves to go and make, we want to believe, we're so grateful for what the grace that is in our own lives, that what we want to do for the next 7.5 months is we want to tell everybody we can and help them understand what God's grace is all about. We want to go and make disciples. You know, that's the heart of the first 110 people that started Cornerstone. See, they were dreaming that God wanted to do something big through them. Grateful for what God had done in their lives, that they said, we can't just think about us and how much more our own church can grow and how much more we can have and all the things we want to do. Jesus, we want to give ourselves that a whole nother group of people. And you're sitting here today, and you're a result of their big vision. They believed that God's family should be big. And so they did something big on May 6, 1979. And it wasn't big because the people, it was just 110. It wasn't big because they had all this money. No, they just rented out a shop and they kind of figured out how to have their first church service. They would have died to have the equipment we have here today. It wasn't big because everybody in Chester or Chesterfield was talking about it, but it was big because it reflected the very heart of God. And this is what big stands for. It was big because they were bold, they were trusted, and they were grateful. You see, God always calls his church family to be big. To be bold because the gospel is bold. To be invested because God gave his son and invested everything he had for a world he cares about. And grateful because regardless of the ups and downs of this world, to have Jesus is to have victory, to have peace, and to have joy. God calls his church of any size to be big. And that's our story as well. You see, we serve a God who's big. He gives us a bold gospel. It's a gospel that breaks all of the status quo and all of the limits of the world around us. The gospel is bold. It declares that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The gospel is all of us are born with a sinful nature, and all of us need to change. The gospel is bold that declares just because you were born a certain way is not the way you should stay. That 100% of us are all born a way that is destructive to life, destructive to family, and destructive to community. And the gospel declares that all of us have sinned, all of us have a sinful nature, all of us are born the wrong way, and can be transformed and reborn and have a new life in Jesus Christ. That's a pretty bold message, especially in the world we live in. It's a gospel that has a very bold answer. His name is Jesus. And in a world of different cultures and different religions, the gospel's bold because it says there is only one way to heaven and there is only one name by which men may be saved, and it's Jesus Christ. And Jesus is the exact message, representation, and God in heaven. And if you want to know God in heaven, you've got to know Jesus. That's a bold message. And so how can God's church not be bold? Is there such a thing as a true church if it is not bold? Because it has been given a bold message. We read in Revelation 7:9 that there is this bold picture of what community and family one day can be like. Revelation 7:9, it's there in your notes. It says there, the great multitude that no one could count from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and in front of the Lamb. There's this bold vision of what church should be. And if you're at Cornerstone, you signed up for a bold vision. Because we believe that the greatest characteristic for the world to see of God's healing work is diversity. We believe in this place that God should bring together, one day going to be part of Revelation 7:9, and people should walk into our church and say, what are all those people doing together? People should walk in our church and say, well, all those people outside, they don't get along. They're not for each other. Matter of fact, they try to manipulate each other and hurt each other and win over each other. But I come to this church, and here it is. What do all these people have in common that some reason they love each other and serve each other and believe? And what's the answer? It's Jesus. He's what we have in common. It's a bold vision. We believe in diversity in our cultures, in our generations. There's not a generation here that doesn't give something to be part of this church. They sacrifice something to make this church work. And the reason they do it is because they believe we're supposed to be together. That the greatest thing we can do for our world, every time we put on our social media, TV, and we hear another thing wrong with this world, we could sit there and complain about it, or we could become an answer to the world. We could say, we've got the same differences as you do out in the world, but we have found a way to live together. We have found a way of joy and victory. We found Jesus, and Jesus is what you need too. That's a bold vision, and if you're part of Cornerstone, that's what you signed up for. You signed up for a place to give, and you're going to have to sacrifice, because we want the world to look at us and say, I think I know who Jesus' followers are. Because look at how they love each other. That's the vision of this time. 37 years ago, there was a people who came together. And they were from all these different backgrounds. They were from all these different backgrounds. Here's a list of the jobs some of the members of the very first Sunday, the people who attend that, have. There was a fence contractor, a heavy equipment mechanic, someone in cosmetic sales, a part-time secretary, a factory worker, an ink specialist, shout out to Brett Hawkins, bookstore owner, plumber, military, UPS driver. That's the group of people who God used in the big way. It wasn't because they had all sorts of money. It wasn't because they were religious experts. They were parents like you're a parent, and their kids like you are kids. And they came together, and they did something big. They were going to be bold, invested, and that they were going to be grateful for what they already have. That's what leads us to this second idea. Not only do God's people, I would just say to you, I don't think there's a real church. You're not a real church if you're not bold, because you've been given a bold gospel with a bold message for a world in desperate need of it. You've got to be bold if you're going to be God's people. But you've also got to say, because of this good news and this great calling, we've got to give. You see, we invest in our community and we invest in this world because God invests in us. For God so loved the world that he did what? He gave his only son. He gave everything. He invested in a world that rejected him, that didn't care about him, that scoffed at him, that crucified him, and yet he gave. He gave to it because that's who God is, and we're his people. So we give well. West End, when they first met, when they gave, they gave people, and they only had 400 people in their congregation, and they gave to start a new congregation. Is a few years later, those first 100 people or so, they bought the first 1.5 kids, that's a number, 1.5, 1.5 acres of land right here, and they bought it for $20,000. That church found $20,000 way, way back in the day. They said, we're going to invest that our church family has a home so that people who have no home can come and find one. And so that's what they did. We've been called to do the same thing. It's really our story. Because of this bold gospel, we need to be invested in. 11 years ago, we did our first outreach in Shady Hill on the Jeff Davis Corridor, 11 years ago. And I was youth pastor at the time. It was Jeff and Linda Knickerbocker, and they had this bold, that this place that has all of the poverty and at-risk demographics of Gilpin Court, and there's no place greater in its needs in all of Central Virginia, that God was going to do something there. And so we had this first outreach there. We had, I don't know, there's probably a few now moms and dads who were in my youth group back then, and we went to this place, and we did our first outreach there. And we had no clue what we were doing, and there were some teenage girls afterwards. I mean, it like heaven fell in the middle of this area in the Masonettes, and heaven fell. And we prayed with everybody, and I was sitting with these three girls. There's one girl, Jennifer. She's a teenager then. She's a mom of two now. She still comes to our church when she's not working on Sundays. And I was talking with her afterwards. It was the first time I met them. And they were like, man, that was so great. I mean, man, that was so wonderful. And I was saying, oh, you liked it, huh? She's like, yeah, it was just, that. You know, sometimes churches have come here, but this was, God just did something really special. I said, well, what was so special to you about it? And these are the words she said, this is the first time a church came to do outreach in our neighborhood, and it didn't end with the cops being called. I was like, oh, okay. I was thinking a little different for why it was so special to you, but we'll go with that. The kingdom of darkness, the gates of hell, it always keeps anybody from succeeding there. They always brought violence and chaos, and yet for us, and we were privileged to say yes. That was 11 years ago. I remember that year as I was learning more about the Jeff Davis Corridor, and as I was walking through Shady Hill, I remember one day I was walking through Shady Hill. I was just sensing all the spiritual battles that were going on, and I remember God literally stopped me. I can tell you, like, if you were in Shady Hill, I could tell you where I was. And God said, Sean, I want you to pray a prayer. I said, well, what prayer do you want me to pray? He said, Sean, I want you to pray that Shady becomes a sign and a wonder to all of Central Virginia for what my kingdom can do. That's what the Lord had me pray 11 years ago, walking through Shady Hill. God, make this place a sign and a wonder for what you can do in a community. Well, about 6 years ago, we started Cornerstone Revitalization Center. We started our own nonprofit here. And we started giving, and we've been giving ever since. I was kind of calculating it. In the last 6 years, has invested over $100,000 in the Jeff Davis Corridor. Yeah. Yeah. We said, if the gospel is going here, then we got to be all in. We got to be all in. So we get out. But we didn't just give our money. We moved in, right? And in the last 6 years, over 500 people from Cornerstone have served in Shady Hill. 500 people. That's right. Kids, I hope you're paying attention to the numbers. We have served 7,650 meals in the last 6 years to share a meal with the neighbor. We have given over 2,800 808 hours to the children of Shady Hill in the last 6 years. 2,808 hours. And that most of you know, I'm on the board of social services for our county, and there's not a person in social, there's not a person on the police force, there's not a board of supervisor member who doesn't know what the kingdom of God is doing in Shady Hill. Amen. It really has become a sign and a wonder. And God's going to do even more. And you know, we haven't just done it with our neighbors, but we also know that as a church, we've got to care about someone who's never heard the gospel before. And so it was 5 years ago that I was standing in the middle of the Ethiopian desert in a village called Genda Tesfa. It's a village of 10,000 Muslims and a Christian there. There was no church there, and there had been two mosques there. 10,000 people. The average person makes $2 a day. It costs a parent $3.50 a day to feed the kid there. And there's two working wells for 10,000 people. And God had called us to be there. And so we walked, and this is a place of leprosy. And we walked, and we saw all these. Pastor Brandon Baldwin was with me. And we walked back outside to a place, our sister church had this little one-room building that was really no bigger than two of these stages, just dirt, one light bulb, tin roof, mud and bricks. And we prayed, and as we prayed, God said, Sean, pray for a door of hope in that village. So I said, Lord, give us a door of hope. There's got to be hope for this place, hope for 10,000 people who have not once ever heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. There's no church, there's no Christian here. And we prayed that, and all the pastors there, they spoke English enough, and they said, how'd you know? And I was like, what do you mean, how do I know? Well, how'd you know the name of the village? I said, I don't know the name of the village. They said, Genda Tesfa. It means place of hope. And you just prayed that there would be a door of hope in the place of hope. That was 5 years ago. 3 years ago, we started our first clinic. We a free service medical clinic, a Christian clinic in the middle of an all-Muslim village, a Christian clinic two blocks away from one of the mosques. And we have, in the past 3 years, we've served 9,731 people in that village. 9,731 people. We've presented the gospel 3,270 times in an all-Muslim village. I'm going to say that again. We've presented the gospel 3,270 times in all-Muslim village. We have given over $80,000 to that clinic. We're the only ones who run it. We're the only ones who give any money to it because we believe there needs to be a witness there. And let me tell you, I just got an email this past week. There is now in Genda Tesfa of 20 former Muslims that are now believers in Jesus Christ. Today, 20 people who never knew who Jesus Christ was, they worship today. They're 7 hours ahead, so they're already back getting their nap for the day. All right? 20 believers. I want you to know this, Cornerstone. 37 years ago, West End Assembly of God planted us 16 miles. This past year, all of you, because we were invested, we planted a church. What is it? It's 7,341 miles away. Yeah. That's a church that because we were invested, because we said God gave, we're going to give, we've given to. And now there are 20 believers. I met them this summer. I met the first ever believers of that village. And God is allowing us to have the privilege of another church where there has never, ever been a church. 37 years ago, West End did it for us, and we got to do it for people who have never heard the gospel. But all that should lead us to what? And that's the last one. We want to be bold, we should be invested, and we should be grateful. We should be grateful for what Christ has done for us. 1 Thessalonians 5:19, it's one of the scriptures. It should be the character of our family. And this service kicks off a month of being grateful. We want everybody to know that in the midst of all the brokenness, all the complaining, it doesn't take the Spirit of God. You don't need the Spirit of God in you to complain. That's not hard to do. You need the Spirit of God to be thankful in a lot of brokenness. And so what we want to do is we want to follow 1 Thessalonians 5, 16. Be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not put out the Spirit's fire. When you're not thankful, you're putting out the Spirit's fire. We need to be a people who are grateful, grateful for all that God has done. 37 years ago, there was a grateful people. They said, we're so grateful, we want to give. Well, you know what? This past year, September 13, 2015, we were so grateful for the grace of God, we said we want to do the same thing. And so we had done grace giving the anniversary before, and we had over $15,000 that we could invest into our community because of that giving. And we take a year, and we want to take 7.5 months, and we want to try to tell as many people as possible about the grace and the goodness of Jesus. We're talking about the whole idea that we exist because someone needs to know the love of Jesus today. They've got it, just like we needed it one day. And so we made a goal. We said, we're praying that with our Jesus Is campaign, that we could reach at least 7,000 people, 7,000 people with the message of Jesus Christ. Just somehow invite them to know Jesus. And we said, off of that, we're hoping at least 700, we get to share the gospel 700 times. And off of that, we're hoping that the Lord would give us the privilege, not just to see salvation decisions, but that the Lord would give us the privilege of leading 70 people into discipleship. Not salvation decisions, discipleship. I'm going to follow Jesus Christ the rest of my life. Well, we've been doing that for 7.5 months. We've done pizza boxes. We've given away Bibles, Valentine's Day presents, all. We've asked you to keep reaching out and then reach out some more. So today, 7.5 months later, I want to tell you the results of a decision on our half, on us, to say we're going to be bold, we're going to be invested, and we're going to be grateful. So grateful, we're going to give. All right, church family, by yourselves, these numbers right, by yourselves, here it's coming, where are you? Where's my page? Okay, here we go. You reached 8,937 people with the Jesus Is campaign and with all our different outreach. 8,937. That means, just through the math, that's over 1,000 people every month. 1,000 people every month trying to tell them about Jesus. Now, boys and girls especially, you need to note that we know within 5 miles of where you're sitting right now, there are at least 7,000 people who don't go to church anyplace. 37,000. So we're just saying, God, help us get started. Well, we reached 8,937 people, all our members, but that's not all we reached, because in that time, Pastor Travis and the youth ministry, along with some other churches, we also reached 8,622 students in high school assemblies this school year. 8,622. All right, but that's not all, because in that 8,037, we didn't include our buckets of love. And in our buckets of love, we reach, and I'm giving you a super conservative estimate, at least 2,500 people with buckets of love. We went to business and said, we're just praying for you and we're grateful for you. And then, by the way, because of your grace giving last anniversary Sunday, we had enough money to give 10,000 households an invitation to come to church, like Dewan over there, for Easter Sunday. So guess what? In 7.5 months, we reached 30,059 people with the love of Jesus Christ. 30,000 people. That's an average of 4,000 people a month. That's an average of 130 people a day. You've been really busy. You have been really busy. Because when you're grateful, you want somebody else to know. You want to give something so somebody else can know. Well, all those touches led to 700 and 22 gospel presentations. Your number, boys and girls, may be 721, because we just had another one yesterday. 722 gospel presentations. And church family, in 33 Sundays since we announced that goal, and not including the baptisms today, we've had the honor of leading 94 people to become disciples of Jesus Christ. 94 people. People in your family, people that matter like your family matters to you. 94 people. Because when we decide to be big because God is big, when we decide to be bold, invested, and grateful, then we've got to give some more. So on our 37th anniversary, I don't want to just give you a bunch of numbers. I want to call it bigger. I got an announcement for you this morning. There's a story that goes Abraham Lincoln, when he was president on Wednesday night, he'd go to a local church near the White House, and he'd get in a study in the side room so that he wouldn't kind of create a stir among the people. And he'd listen every Sunday morning, every Wednesday night, to this pastor called Dr. Max Gruley. And the pastor would allow him to listen. And one night, Lincoln was walking back to the White House after preaching, after hearing the Wednesday night sermon. And a friend asked him what he thought about the sermon. Well, it was brilliantly conceived, biblical, relevant, and well presented. So it was a great sermon, asked the friend. He said, no, it wasn't. He said it actually failed. It failed because the pastor did not ask us to do something great. So I don't want to fail at the sermon this morning. I'm going to ask you to do something great this morning. I'm going to ask you to believe for something even bigger than you've already seen, because if we do have a bold gospel, and if we believe that we need to be as invested as God has been in this world, and if we are grateful for what he's done and we're not just forgetting about him going on to our busy lives, then maybe there's something even bigger that God has for us. I'm going to ask the elders of the church if they would just stand where they are right now, the elders of the church. I'm going to ask our board members of the church, too, if they would stand as well, if we have some of our board members here. Thank you, Bob. I'm going to put this in resume this morning, and I'm asking all of you to hear this as the leadership of this church, and obviously including our pastors as well, make this declaration to you. So would you hear this as we are before God in this tent of meeting this morning? Whereas in Matthew 28, 19 and 20, Jesus gave the great commission to all disciples, declaring, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything. And whereas Colossians 1:18 tells us that Jesus Christ is the head of the church and we exist to do his will and bring him glory. And whereas the pastors, elders, board of Cornerstone Assembly of God have dedicated this year to the great commission and seeking how we can fulfill Christ's great commission in a greater way. And whereas Christian church and mission studies show that new church plants bring people into discipleship than any other church or outreach activity. Whereas Cornerstone Assembly of God was itself planted by Westland Assembly of God the first Sunday of May 6, 1979, 37 years ago this week. And whereas a diligent and thorough study and research by our denomination, our staff, and church planting ministries has determined that South Richmond metropolitan area is critically in need of a new church with a fresh, empowered vision to win the lost, show compassion to the hurting, and disciple the saved. Now, therefore, be it resolved on behalf of the pastors, eldership, and board of Cornerstone Assembly of God, on this day, May 1st, 2016, that we confirm and declare that God has called our church family to plant a church in South Richmond, North Chesterfield by September 2017. Amen. I've got a little bit more. I want you to hear this moment. And now, therefore, be it further resolved that the pastors, eldership, and board of Cornerstone Assembly of God confirm God's call for Pastor Travis Jones, along with his wife Brittany and their children, to pastor and shepherd this church plant. I've got storm resolution to read still, because it's a resolution. It has to go on forever. Just listen to this. By the way, there's a copy of this with information about what this means coming up. You're going to be handed it at the end of this time. Henceforth, let the entire church family be called to prayer, asking for our Lord's kingdom to come and his will to be done in South Richmond and with this future church to be planted. I'm going to ask you to be seated for a moment. taking this year to seek God about how can we further the Great Commission more than we ever have. And this is the answer God has clearly given us. 37 years ago, a church of less than 400 said there needs to be a church in that area called Chester. And they were willing to be bold, invested, and grateful with what they had. And so today, 37 years later, we're declaring that we want to be the same type of people still. And every good family should do such a good job that they lose their kids. Not in heart, but they send them out. They send them out to what we need. And this is a significant moment for us as a church family. Now, boys and girls and our teenagers, our students, we're thinking about you here. Nothing's going to happen soon. We're asking for the summer that we all pray together. And what's going to happen is the board, the elders, the pastors, we're all researching and understanding what this is going to mean in September, this upcoming year, September 2016. We are going to present to you at Thomas Dale, we're going to present to you a 12-month church planting plan. So right now, we don't have all the answers to the questions you're asking in your brain right now. All right? We're asking you to pray, and we're going to give you that prayer guideline in a moment. But before we go on any further, and we still have some baptisms to do this morning, we need to do our grace giving in honor of God's big call for us. I wanted Pastor Travis to take him to share the calling that he came to us with as we were having the same calling as well. Do you want
to say? Hey, well, I feel so grateful and privileged just to hear just you all celebrating what we want to do here in our community in another church. And I think about 31 years ago, there was three families, a total of 16 people. They decided they want to start a new church in the south side of Miami, Florida, led by a guy named Bruce Klepp. And he along with his wife and two daughters, and had a dog named Rex. And along with two other families, they decided to move from Fort Lauderdale, Florida, to Miami, Florida, to start this new church. And they didn't have any formal education at all. They didn't have much going with them, much resources. In fact, they all got jobs at Costco to make sure they can pay their bills. And I just remember just sharing a story with me years later. They end up starting that Bible study, and they end up being well. Bruce Klepp was a dynamic preacher, and people from all around town wanted to hear Bruce come preach. And over a year or so, that church started. They had over 1,000 people. Then about 10 years from that moment, the church started to do a sermon series called Outreach. And they decided to go to the different areas and different schools and tell people about Jesus and invite them to church. Well, Bruce decided, the head pastor decided, he's going to take on one of the roughest high schools in Miami, Florida. It was even a CNN article about this high school. And I happened to attend that high school. And Bruce came to our high school one day after school, and he just kind of sought me out in the middle of the crowd. And he looked at me, and he said, "Young man, God has a plan for your life." I was in the ninth grade, struggling with school. I was in and out of trouble with the law, and I was just kind of a wayward teenager. In fact, I really didn't have a relationship with God, and I just was still struggling with the idea that I didn't know my father. I was just a teenager who just had a lot of stuff going on. And Bruce Klepp told me on that day that God had a plan for my life, and I was just super excited. And it's from that moment my life changed, because a church and a man said yes to a call. I think about years even before that moment, a church and a man said yes to a call. They decided to do a Sunday sidewalk Sunday school on the south side of Chicago. And I remember my wife sharing a story that there was a man in a church that said yes to a call. And they came to her street, and they invited her to church when she was a little girl. And she was in a hurting home, and it wasn't really good for kids. And her mother was struggling with drug abuse, and her father had passed away when she was a younger kid. And she was just kind of raising herself. And I remember when she's telling a story of a man in a church saying yes to a call. And she's here today because of that. And I'm here today because a church and a man said yes. And so a few months ago, I decided just to pray and see what God has next for my hand. We begin to pray. And, God has put on our hearts that we need to start a new church in South Richmond. I was on an airplane going to a pastor's conference, and I was reading an article about Jeff Davis and just how so much stuff going on, so much outreach there, and so much potential in that area. And I remember reading an article about that, and I remember years ago, a pastor came to me and said, hey, one day you're going to make an impact on this road. I was living on and the road was called US 1. But I didn't know that US 1 and Jeff Davis, that's the same road. So I began to pray for the opportunity and just, Lord, would you allow this to happen in our hearts? And I've been wrestling with this for the past few years, and this idea of planting my own church and starting a church and being part of another church that starts another church with it for years. And I just remember a few months ago, I was just kind of praying and doing my devotions, and I felt like God asked me a question. He said, what if the churches that let me and my wife to Christ said no? And I had to wrestle with that question for a long time, and I felt like God just began to confirm it in my own heart that I needed to say yes. And it was so awesome. I came to the elders and the board, and it was a church saying yes, and I want to be that man that says yes. So thank you all for praying for us. Appreciate it.
And Brittany said,
yes, amen.
Yes, amen. There we go.
That's all she wanted to say. Well, church family,
I guess God's raining down his approval right now. Hallelujah. Man, his approval's messy, isn't it? It's just messy, and you got to watch where you walk, and it's good. God's calling us to be big, bold, invested, and so grateful that we can't help but say, God, do it again for somebody else like you did it for us. We're going to invite you to take a moment, and I'm just going to, I think, just to think about our time, I'm just going to ask Brittany and Travis if you just stand here for a moment. We're going to have a summer to pray, so we're going to get lots more prayer. By the way, don't bombard them with 1,000,000,000 questions. The answer is, we don't know yet, okay? That's just giving you the answer. But after we finish up, you're going to go through these doors. We've got lunch all out there, and we still got baptism to do, so we still got some things to do. But there's going to be that resolution on the backside. It's going to be information to show you how to spend this summer in prayer. And then next month, we're actually going to start a prayer movement called Pray for South Richmond next month. So we're going to see God do some great things. I'm going to ask you to extend a hand over Travis and Brittany, a prayer, a hand of blessing. Lord, we agree. We agree. We agree that the gospel is bold. We agree that you gave everything and we should give as well. We agree that the only response to what you've done is to be grateful and give more. So in the name of Jesus, pour out the Spirit, pour out life-giving rain on South Richmond. Pour it out upon our church, that this community would even see more. Pour it out, dear God, so no family member is distant from you. Pour it out, dear God, that this community and all of Richmond may see a sign and a wonder of the kingdom of God. Pour it out on our city. Pour it out on our county. Pour it out on our lives. Let it never be enough. Lord, we agree. As this church family says, church family, would you say amen?
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Church family, we're going to ask you to prepare for the grace giving. It's an idea of giving out of that gratitude, and it's giving out of that bold vision. If someone can make sure our stage is ready. We have our kids dance team from Wednesday night are going to be performing during this offering. You'll see in booklet should be a grace giving envelope and card, and you're going to fill that out and tear off half of it. You should be able to see that. What we're asking you to do Now, and please, if you're a visitor this day, we're not asking you to give. You're a visitor. You're just here. But if you're part of our church family, if you're an attender of Cornerstone, then we're asking you to make a commitment this summer that's big. We're asking you to be faithful to tithe. And if you haven't been doing that, we're asking you 6 months and dedicate yourself to tithing. Say, Lord, I want to be bold, and I want to be invested, and I want to be grateful. And I want to give what you've called me to give in the Word. And I want to make that commitment. We had a number of families did that last summer with a number of testimonies of just the greatness of God as they took that step. So for some of you here today, your step is to tithe for the next 6 months, as you know you should. Now there's some you've been tithing, and they're asking you to consider to give something more this for the next 6 months. Whether you give it in this offering or you just give a pledge and say, hey, every month we're going to give this much extra compared to our tithes, because we want to prepare as we get to see a new fall coming up of outreaches into our community. We have missions trips going on, and during the traveling seasons, it's really important that we give consistently, not more than God tells us to do, but what God told us to do. Want to encourage you, pledges, to consider going online and making it something that happens automatically just because of your travel schedule coming up this summer. But however the Lord calls you to do that, we're asking you to give because of the grace of God in your life for what he's done this year. And then for many of us in this room, especially with families, you can do something in a very common sense way that would actually make a giant difference for someone 37 years from now. If you have a family, you should have a will and estate planning so you know what the resources God has given you, how it's going to take care of your family, and how it's going to continue to be part of the legacy of the kingdom of God. And by some very simple things, you could actually bless people that sit in a tent filled with water 37 years from now by making sure that you've done your part with your will and your estate planning. And so what you'll see on the card is we have an estate planning. We have something called a legacy ministry that's beginning that basically helps people do what they should, which is make sure they understand how they're taking care of their family and what are their desires for what they have after that. We got lots of people giving to hospitals. We got lots of people giving to alma maters. Let's give to the kingdom of God with what we have left so that someone 37 years from now can say, I'm here because someone gave. And so we're asking you, if you know that you have interest in, like, hey, I'd like to learn more, just check that box and make sure your contact information. And when we have that legacy ministry training, and there's no commitment, you're just going to learn how to do these things. It will give you a chance to contribute to the grace that God's going to do so many years from now. So, would you look at that right now as a family? Make sure you're filling that out and putting that envelope in, holding your part. And we want to praise the Lord. Last year, literally over $20,000 was given. A lot of that money is going to go to our clinic in Ethiopia to make sure that continues, that church. But then it's going to go through our plans for outreach. So we're believing for really could use over $25,000 to $30,000 through the sum total of this giving. And that's as the Lord desires. So be led by the Spirit, bold, invested, and grateful. Boys and girls, would you come up? And as this offering is prepared, ushers, if you would come forward at this time, walk your way through the mud, everybody, as we disconnect electronical things that are all in. You're never going to forget this Sunday. Never, ever. Let's pray. Everybody up there? Lord, let's pray. Lord Jesus, as we celebrate this offering and then we celebrate yet more new lives coming into the kingdom in baptism, Lord, we thank you for your big heart for this world, a big family that you want. Let us be a part of it. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. Amen. Grace.